Good morning, everyone.
I would just like to give you a huge special welcome this morning. It is a special Sunday, as Tile already mentioned, and so thank you for joining us this morning, especially for those families joining us from our VBS. Thank you. We're glad you're here. The past week, our church was filled with energy, lots of energy, laughter, music, games, and the good news of Jesus. Over 160 kids came through these doors to discover that the bunch of old irrelevant stories, as Ty already mentioned as well, we get to share a little bit of that, a glimpse of what we've, two of our Bible story service with childlike faith. There's only a couple of announcements that, secondly, in the dining hall after the service, for lunch. You're all invited. You didn't bring anything? Perfect. Come and join us and have lunch with us this afternoon, right after the service. Thank you to all of those who brought desserts, and if for our church family, if you could bring those on a weekly basis, that would be fantastic for the next. And then also Bill and Nettie, I want to extend their thanks to the church family for the visits, for the prayers, and for the meals that hospital. So thank you for that. This morning I want us to begin by giving thanks to one who makes all of this possible. Now I want to start by reading Psalm 34, 1-9. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will boast only. Let all who are helpless come. Let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Hears. Those who look to him will radiate. No shadow aim will darken their faces. I love that. In my desperation prayed, and the Lord listened hard. He surrounds and defends him. Oh, taste and see of those who take refuge in him, our Father in heaven. We give thanks to you for this of hosting and sharing the good news of Jesus with so many kids over this past week. And may those seeds that were planted take root and grow from this day forward. And now, Father, as we continue to worship you, may you be honored and glorified in all the things that we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Hello. I am Kristen. I'm one of the VBS directors. And children's ministry has been a lifelong passion of mine. I started volunteering in Children's Church here at Oslo Mission Chapel over 20 years ago. And since then, working with children, whether through my career, motherhood, or ministry, has been a significant part of my life. When I was invited to join the VBS leadership team in 2021, I didn't hesitate to say yes. A program where we share the gospel to children, that's the ministry I want to be involved in. The vision for VBS was born over a cup of coffee. What if we did a whole day of VBS? What if we shared the entire story from creation to Christ in just 1 week? What if we brought back the old school crafts and sports, and what if we fed the kids a hot lunch? Every idea felt exciting and impossible. From the very beginning, we committed this program to prayer and entrusted it to God. We knew that something this big and this bold could only happen if God was at the center, and he has been every step of the way. We began praying for people who would buy into this crazy idea, and within a few months, God started answering. Volunteers stepped forward to cook lunch, plan crafts, sports, and recreation, and to play in a live band. The Saturday before our first all-day VBS in 2021, we filled the church with balloons, an idea inspired by Bob Goff's book, Everybody Always. And on Monday morning, we waited for kids to show up. The first year taught us a lot. We made changes and improvements, like adding live-action Bible stories written and performed by gifted people from the church. The program grew, and we had many students returning year after year, and many of them were unchurched, some from different denominations, and even some who traveled from out of province just to attend. We've seen incredible fruit. Students who first registered with no church connection, but returning the next year with a home church listed. Children receiving their very first Bibles. We have seen relationships develop between the kids who attend and the volunteers who pour into their lives during the week. Over the past 5 years, we have spent 9,000 minutes planting seeds into the lives of hundreds of kids. Often, we don't get to see the full impact we are making in the lives of the kids who attend VBS, but sometimes we are blessed with a glimpse of the way that VBS has changed lives. But much of the time we are left trusting that the same God who brought them through the doors is the same God who is walking alongside those kids when they go home on Friday. And he, this year, 174 students registered, and the church was filled with excited kids Monday morning, and 40 of those students attended for the very first time, and we had 15 of them attending for their fifth time. Over 90 volunteers showed up during the week to serve in some capacity, and 32 of them were from outside of our church. New this year was the Wonder Lab, which was an activity that focused on science and how God is interwoven through all of it. It gave the kids a chance to wonder and explore and engage in hands-on experiments. The Wonder Lab quickly became a huge hit, and it filled a gap that we didn't realize existed. The students attending heard two Bible stories each day that started at creation and ended with the resurrection of Christ. The stories shared throughout the week are intentionally woven together in a way that shows how Jesus, the rescuer, is present throughout the entire Bible. In chapel, the kids not only heard the truths, but they were invited to go deeper through questions and discussions. They spent time hiding God's word in their heart through memorizing scripture verses and through the songs that they sang. This is the fourth year that I have told these Bible stories, and every year I am impacted by a different truth. This year, I watched a young King David defeat Goliath, and I was deeply impacted by this line. It isn't how strong you are or how many swords and spears you have that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins his battles. Planning a program of this size with so many moving pieces and people, all with the goal of sharing Jesus with the children in our community, is an ideal place for Satan to attack. And if I'm being honest, this was a very heavy year for the leadership team. We felt spiritual opposition from many angles, but even in the midst of that, we were confident that God had a purpose and a plan for VBS this year that would reach beyond what the leadership would know. So thank you, church, for the way you have partnered with us in fulfilling God's plan for VBS at Oslo Mission Chapel. Thank you for the people who volunteered, the people who made physical and monetary donations, and thank you, church, for your prayers. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Your prayers have been felt and answered in big ways, and we are so appreciative of how you as a church have supported us. Today we're presenting the last two VBS Bible stories to give you a glimpse of what the kids at VBS are able to see and learn about their great rescuer. We hope that you can also find encouragement in the truth of God's word, because his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love is for everyone. It was Passover, the time when God's people remembered how God had rescued them from being slaves in Egypt. Every year they would eat a special meal. They would kill a lamb and eat it. "The lamb died instead of us," they would say. But this Passover, God was preparing an even greater rescue. And they didn't sit in chairs like we do. And boy, let's talk about those feet. Jesus and his friends were sharing the Passover meal together in an upstairs room. And they didn't sit in chairs like we do. They reclined, leaning on one arm, with their heads towards the table and their feet stretched behind them. Because back then, they didn't wear shoes, just sandals. And the streets? Ugh, they were gross. With animals everywhere, cows and horses, you can just imagine the stuff on the roads that ended up on their feet. And someone had to wash all that mess off, but it was a dreadful job, a servant's job. Actually, it was the lowliest servant's job, so who would ever volunteer for that?
I'm not the servant. I'm not washing anybody's gross feet.
Well, I'm not going to. Don't look at me. I'm not touching anyone's feet. That's disgusting.
No, you can't.
Peter didn't understand what Jesus was doing. Jesus was teaching them something really important about being the servant king. Their feet were covered in gross, stinky mud, and even animal poop. It made them stink. It made the room stink, and it left messes everywhere. This is kind of what sin is like to God. Sin is as disgusting to him as poop on our feet is to us. And just like you wouldn't want to be close to someone who smelled that bad, God couldn't be close to people covered in sin. So God told his people to kill a lamb. They would place their hands on the lamb, and their sin would be symbolically transferred to it. The lamb's blood covered their sin, but it couldn't take it away. Covering sin was like putting a sneaker over dirty feet. The dirt is still there. You just can't see it or smell it anymore. It's covered, but it's not gone. But Jesus was getting ready to do something new. He wasn't going to just cover sin. He was going to wash it away forever. He would be the final Passover lamb, the last lamb that ever needed to die. That's what he was showing them when he knelt down and began to wash their feet.
Peter, if you don't let me wash away the dirt, you can't be close to me.
Then wash me. Wash all of me.
Oh, Peter.
Jesus knew that what people needed the most was to be clean on the inside. All of the dirt on their feet was nothing compared to the sin inside their hearts.
You see, I'm doing this because I love you. So do this for each other.
But not everything at the table was as it seemed. One of Jesus' disciples had made a secret plan. No one else knew about it, but Jesus knew, and Judas knew. Judas had agreed to help the leaders arrest Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was trading the Son of God for money.
Go on, Judas. This bread, my body is like this bread. It will be broken. And this cup of wine is like my blood. It will be poured out. This is how God's going to rescue the world. My body will be broken, so God's broken world can be made whole. My heart will be torn apart, so your hearts can be healed. Just like the Passover lamb died, now I must die in your place. It's a little heavy for me, but I'm trying to explain it to you guys. My blood will wash away your sins, so you can be clean, clean on the inside in your hearts. But I won't stay dead. In 3 days, I'll rise again. So every time you eat this bread and drink from that cup, remember, I've rescued you.
Jesus knew that it was nearly time for him to leave the world and go back to God.
I won't be with you long. You will be very sad, but a helper is coming, and he will comfort you and give you a peace that doesn't ever leave. So don't be afraid. You're my friends, and I love you.
So Jesus led his disciples to one of his favorite places, a garden called Gethsemane. It was late in the evening now, and the wind was picking up and blowing clouds across the moon, shrouding the garden in darkness.
Stay up with me.
Jesus walked ahead alone into the dark. He needed to talk to his heavenly Father. He knew it was almost time for him to die. They had planned it long ago, he and his Father. Jesus was going to take the punishment for all of the wrong things anybody had ever done or would ever do.
Father, if there's any other way to get your...
But Jesus knew there was no other way. All of the poison of sin was going to pour into Jesus' heart. God was going to pour into Jesus' heart all of the sadness and brokenness in people's hearts. He was going to pour into Jesus' body all the sickness in people's bodies. God was going to have to blame his Son for everything that had gone wrong. Every sin that had ever been done, and every sin that would one day be done, it would crush Jesus. But there was something else, something even more horrible. When people sinned against God, they lost God, and their special relationship was broken. They were no longer friends, and they couldn't be together. Not being close to God was a punishment, and Jesus was going to take that punishment. Jesus knew what it meant. He was going to lose his Father, and that, Jesus knew, would part in two. Violent sobs shook Jesus' whole body. The pain and the sorrow that he felt was so bad that his sweat was like blood.
But I do trust you, Father. So whatever you say, I'll do.
Suddenly, through the trees, a glitter of starlight flashed off of steel. Into the quiet garden came whispers and muffled voices, clanking metal and the sound of boots marching.
Now is the time. Everything that has been written about me, that God has been trying to tell people for many years, is coming true.
That's him. Get him.
You won't take him. He's done nothing wrong.
Peter, this is not the way. Put your sword down.
Peter didn't realize that no army, no matter how big, could ever arrest Jesus. Not unless Jesus let them. Then Jesus was arrested as if he were a criminal. And Jesus' disciples, they were afraid. So they ran away and hid in the dark shadows. They left Jesus to face this alone. Not one of his friends stayed by his side.
Are you the Son of God?
I am.
How dare you make that statement, say that you are God? You must die for making that claim.
Oh, their hearts were so hard and full of anger that they hated Jesus. The enemy had whispered lies to them. They couldn't see that Jesus was God. They were jealous and angry, and they wanted Jesus to die. And Satan wanted to kill Jesus the most. Only the Romans were allowed to kill prisoners, so the leaders made a plan.
I know what we can do. We'll tell the Romans that this man wants to be our king. They're not going to let it happen. They'll take care of him. They'll crucify him.
Great idea. Then he'll die.
Yeah.
It was for this reason that I was born into this world.
Jesus had lived a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. And because he had no sin, he didn't deserve to die. People die because of sin, and Jesus had no sin. That's what made his death so incredible. Since he had no sin of his own to pay for, he could die for someone else. He could die for us. So Jesus was taken to the Romans, and it was decided that he would be killed on a cross, the way that the worst criminals were killed. But first, they would beat him.
So you're king, are you? Well, you'll need a robe and a crown.
Your Majesty.
They whipped him and beat him and spat on him. They didn't understand that this was the Prince of Life, the King of Heaven and Earth, who had come down to rescue them. The soldiers made him a sign, "Our King," and nailed it to a wooden cross. They walked up a hill outside of the city, and Jesus carried the cross on his back. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but they were going to kill him the way criminals were killed. In fact, he would be killed right next to two other criminals, men who really had done bad things.
Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing.
You think you came to rescue us? You can't even rescue yourself.
Yeah, if you're the Son of God, get yourself down from the cross.
Oh, but they were wrong. Jesus could have rescued himself. A legion of angels would have flown to his side if he'd called. And of course, they were right. Jesus could have just climbed down. Actually, he could have just said a word and made it all stop. Like when he healed people and stilled the storm and performed miracles. But Jesus stayed. It was his love for every single person who has and would ever be born that kept him there on the cross.
Father. Father. Where are you? Don't leave me.
And for the first time and the last, when he spoke, nothing happened. Just a horrible, endless silence. God didn't answer. He turned away from his son. He couldn't look at Jesus because Jesus was full of all our sins. Tears rolled down Jesus' face, the face of the one who would wipe away every tear from every eye. Even though it was the middle of the day, a dreadful darkness covered the face of the whole world. The sun could not shine. The earth trembled and quaked, and great mountains shook. Rocks split in two until it seemed that the whole world would break apart, that creation itself would tear into pieces. The full force of God's fierce anger at sin was coming down on his own son. Instead of his people, it was the only way God could destroy sin and not destroy his children whose hearts were filled with sin. There was a debt to be paid. In order to rescue his people, the punishment for sin is death. Because all our sin had been moved onto him, he had to be punished. Jesus had to die.
It is finished.
And it was. He had done it. Jesus had rescued the whole world. No more lambs needed to be brought to an altar to die. Jesus had done it all.
Father, I give you my life.
Jesus' disciples were devastated. How could Jesus die? What had gone wrong? What did it mean? They didn't know anything anymore. Except they did know that their hearts were breaking. In their sadness, they had forgotten the promise Jesus had given him. What had Jesus said? He was going to rise from the dead in 3 days. The leaders thought they got rid of Jesus forever. And strange clouds and shadows filled the sky, purple, orange, and black like a bruise. Satan must have thought that he had won. He had managed to kill God's son. How was God supposed to crush him now? Was Satan right? No. Satan had so much pride that it blinded him from seeing the truth. He didn't know that this is why Jesus had come. Seems obvious to us, doesn't it? Jesus said he was coming to be our lamb. He even said he was going to die, but Satan couldn't see it. So for a little while, he celebrated. But just to be sure, they sent some strong soldiers to guard the tomb where Jesus was laid. And then a huge stone was rolled across the door. They had heard that Jesus said he would come back to life after 3 days. They didn't want anyone coming and taking Jesus' body, pretending that he was alive. They wanted to make sure that Jesus stayed dead in that tomb. Could they stop God's plan? What if they had the best and strongest soldiers guarding it? What if they had the heaviest stone in the world blocking the door? No. Nothing was going to stop God's rescue plan. Right now, Jesus was dead, but he had made a promise. And when God makes a promise, he always, always keeps it. In 3 days, the world would change forever.
On Friday, when that scene ended and Kristen walked off the stage, the collective children said, oh, not yet. They wanted to know the ending, and it was really cool to hear that. My name is Camille, if you don't know who I am. I am one of the directors of VBS, along with Kristen. We are the leadership team for VBS, and she shared her journey for VBS, and mine is a little bit different than hers. In the beginning, on year one, I started VBS, and I was like, I can do this. I doubted like Kristen, but I also was like, I'm really good at talking to people, and I can ask people to come and serve at VBS, and it will be fine. If you served in year one, you probably did get asked by me. I probably came up to you and said, hey, I see that you are really gifted here. Would you serve at VBS this year? I believed quite strongly in the mission of sharing God's great love story with the children, and I did whatever I thought it took to get the program going. In year two, God challenged me. I began to realize that true and lasting service doesn't come by pressuring or guilting people into it. Comes from a heart responding to the Spirit's prompting. I had to learn to trust God and to believe that He could do way more than I could. He could be the one, and He was the one, who stirred hearts to serve Him. I worked really hard. I don't know if worked is the right word. I spent a lot of time taking my clenched fists and opening them up again and saying, God, you've got it. I don't want people to come and serve here out of obligation or shame. I want them to say yes because you're asking them to say yes, and I want them to come and serve you, Jesus, not me. And I wanted them to come and serve with joy and trust in God. As Kristen shared, VBS has grown into something that is far bigger than either one of us could have planned or even thought of. And at the heart of our plan was to love kids extravagantly and to point them to Jesus. That vision was deeply impacted and shaped by a book that I read several years ago that Kristen mentioned already. It's called Everybody Always by Bob Goff. In it, he challenges everybody to love people, to love all people, no conditions, no exceptions, and that became the heartbeat of our program. We wanted kids to walk through our doors and to feel the love of Jesus from the very first moment they stepped into our church. Whether it was through decorations, I think it was year one or year two, we had kids walk in and they were a little late, and they walked in and they were talking to Kristen, and they walked in and they said, we're here for the, and they saw all the balloons and they're like, the party. We're here for the party. And it was just so much fun to watch their reactions. Hot lunches. This year we had a mom report to us that her daughter, in fact, did not eat supper any day this week because our food was so good, she just had to eat seconds, even though she wasn't hungry. She just had to eat more. Through crafts, our kids have loved doing crafts and bringing them home. Conversations with students or other staff, and Bible stories. Everything was designed to show the children that they mattered deeply to God and deeply to us as a church, or as followers of Jesus. Many of you have maybe wondered or even asked why we do balloons every single year. Again, this is a Bob Goff thing. He says, I buy hundreds of balloons because I think balloons equal celebrating, and life is worth celebrating. For him, balloons are his go-to for everything. When I don't know what to bring with me, I go and buy balloons. If I'm going to a birthday party, a job interview, a dentist appointment, an exam, or to the gym, everywhere except for scuba diving, balloons are with me. Balloons are considered an internationally understood code for celebration, joy, welcome, and love. And that's what we wanted VBS to feel like a celebration, because life with Jesus is worth celebrating. Our prayer for VBS has always been twofold, that the kids who don't know Jesus would meet him here, and the kids that do know him would grow in their understanding and their relationship with Jesus. This week, we saw glimpses of both. Kids asked big questions They engaged in conversations from our chapel services, stories. They memorized scripture. So many of our kids memorized at least 5 verses this week. They sang songs that spoke truth, and some of them heard the gospel for the very first time. And others got to connect dots to stories in the Bible and to their faith in new ways. For me, one of my favorite parts and most powerful parts of VBS is watching the way our volunteers interact with our children. We always have hard kids every year. There are a couple of kids that I know by name, and I'm not in the classroom. I'm pretty hands-off the week of, but if I know a kid's name, it's probably because they weren't listening. And just watching our teachers pour out even more love because these kids were hard. Not backing off and not saying, hey, Camille, can you take him? Because I just can't. They just loved on them. Another really cool highlight for me each year is watching people who come back for the second year or the third year, my volunteers specifically, and seeing how they have, how God has grown and shaped them throughout the last year or the last 2 years, and watching them just become more and more like Jesus. It's been really such a huge blessing to watch people grow as followers of Jesus. What makes this program so beautiful is not just about what we teach, but it is the way that we get to reflect Jesus as we teach these children. Like Kristen said, I want to thank each and every one of you, whether you served, whether you gave, or you prayed. You were a huge part of what God did this week, and He definitely did something. As we move on into the next week and rest of the summer, I would invite you to join us in continuing to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would take those seeds that were planted in these kids' hearts this week and nourish them, and that those seeds would take root so that those who don't yet know Jesus would be drawn to Him, and those that do would be drawn into an even deeper relationship with Him.
In our last lesson, we learned that Jesus was killed. Even though He had done nothing wrong, not one thing ever, He died on a cross like a criminal. But he wasn't a criminal. He was taking the punishment for our sins. The punishment for sin is death. Jesus didn't have to die, but because He loved us, He chose to. Jesus' disciples didn't understand. He had told them many times that He must die and that He would come back to life. Their hearts were broken. Now, if the story had ended with Jesus dead on a cross, it would be terribly sad. But His story doesn't end there. After Jesus died, His friends carefully took His body down from the cross. They put Him in a special grave called a tomb, and slowly they rolled a big stone across the door. Soldiers were ordered to guard the tomb so that nobody could steal Jesus' body and pretend that He had risen from the dead. Jesus' death couldn't stop God's rescue plan. The soldiers couldn't stop God's rescue plan. The big stone couldn't stop God's rescue plan. Nothing could stop God's rescue plan. Just as He had said, after 3 days, God brought Jesus back to life. He was alive. Just before sunrise on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away and waited. In those days, it was custom for people to put nice-smelling spices on the bodies of those who had died. Jesus' mom and some other women who loved Him were going to go do that early one morning. Their heads were hanging low, and they had tears dried on their cheeks, and they walked quietly along the hilly path through the olive groves until they reached the tomb. But immediately they noticed something was odd. It was wide open.
Look. Oh. What's happened?
Women, don't be scared. I know you're here to look for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He is risen. Come see for yourselves.
The women, they peered into the dark tomb and saw that it was true. The place where Jesus' body had laid was empty. All that was left was the strips of cloth that they had wrapped his body in.
Oh, Jesus is alive?
Yes, Jesus died, but now he's alive. He's risen, and he's on his way to Galilee. You'll go see him there. But go tell his disciples now.
Yes,
tell his disciples.
Let's go tell his disciples.
Yes. Make sure they know.
Oh, come. Okay. Let's go. Let's go tell his disciples.
We gotta go.
Oh, Jesus is alive. He's alive.
He's alive. Can you imagine how excited they must have felt? This was the best news that the world had ever known, and they got to go and tell people. Oh.
Let's go tell the disciples.
John,
come on.
Matthew.
Peter. John.
All of you.
Hey.
All of you. Okay.
Jesus is alive.
What? You're crazy. What?
Jesus isn't dead. He's not dead.
Those disciples must have been pretty happy, right? They probably got up. They did a happy dance. Maybe they said, hooray! Hallelujah! No, they didn't. They didn't believe the women. How could Jesus be alive? They had seen him die. They watched as his body was put in the tomb.
You guys are a little crazy.
Your grief is making you a little loony.
No.
You all just need to sit down, calm down. You're spouting nonsense. We all saw Jesus die. He's dead. He's gone.
But he isn't.
She's
the
right.
The angel told us so.
Jesus really is alive. She's right.
After Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he didn't disappear right away. No way. For 40 days, Jesus stayed with his disciples to show them that he was really alive and to get them ready for something big.
This is what I told you would happen. This is what the prophets wrote about.
Jesus? Is it really you?
Yes, Peter. I told you I would rise again. Now here I am.
I saw you at the garden tomb. I knew you were alive.
Unless I see the scars in his hands, I don't believe it's true. It's not him.
Thomas. And look, touch the scars and believe.
My Lord, my God.
Can you imagine their joy as it finally sank in that Jesus really was alive? I'm sure their hearts felt as if they would burst from happiness. The friends ate together and chatted happily, and every now and then, they'd just gaze at Jesus and have to touch him to be sure that they weren't dreaming. Jesus had a real body, but his body was better. It had come through death. And it couldn't get sick again or be killed again. This body would live forever. Jesus had come back with a brand new body. Jesus, he didn't just appear once or twice. He actually showed up many times. He ate with them, talked with them, and helped them understand the scriptures. He wanted them to be 100% sure he is alive.
That's amazing. Well, what happens now?
Hey, are you going to stay with us forever now?
Yeah. I've finished what I've come to do. Now I must return to my Father in heaven. I know, but you won't be alone.
Like, you're leaving again?
Yes, but I'm sending a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he will live inside you. And he will give you power. And he'll help you tell the world about me.
Then Jesus led his friends to a hillside. And right there, something amazing happened.
I want you guys to go into the whole world and tell the world about me. And I'll never leave you.
Why are you standing there staring up into the sky?
This same Jesus that you saw taken up before you will come again, just as he said.
We gotta go.
Jesus is alive. He's in heaven now, ruling as king, and one day he's coming back. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is alive, and he's coming back. And guess what? You can be part of his kingdom. Not just someday when he returns, but right now. Jesus wants to be your king, your forever friend, your savior. Jesus is alive, and he's the true king. He came to rescue us from sin and bring us into God's family. He invites us to trust him, to follow him, and to walk with him every day. Jesus doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom, his family. That starts by trusting who he is and choosing to follow him with your life. If you're thinking, I want to know Jesus, or I want to follow him and be a part of his kingdom, that's something you can talk to him about. Just be honest with him. He hears you. And you can also talk to the leadership of our church with our pastors, Pastor Gary, Pastor Dan, and they'd love to answer your questions.
Can we give a big round of applause to our actors?
Yeah. I just wanted to add something. I was thinking about this as we were out there, and I was thinking, man, all these people here have heard this story so many times. There is a song that I like very much. It's called I Love to Tell the Story. It's an old, old hymn. And one of the lines, and I love this line, says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And it makes me think of when I was at Bible camp, there was some teaching for the cabin leaders, and the teacher was saying to the cabin leaders, because they're about to share the gospel with all these kids all month, or for 2 months, for the whole summer. And he said, do you care about the gospel? He said, because you're about to share it, and if you're not fired up about it, the kids aren't going to be fired up about it. Like, they just won't. So he said, when's the last time it made you tear up? And I'm not talking about sensationalism here. I'm not a very emotional person. We don't need to be that. But if it's never made you tear up, or if you don't think about, man, my sins are gone. Like, that's, I know what we did here. You've seen 1,000 times. But keep in mind, the gospel is the center of what we are. It's not the ABCs of Christianity. It's the A to Z. It's everything we are. It's our center. So I know you've seen this a million times. But remember, and try to get it into you. And if it's not, if you're just like, oh, whatever, then pray, ask God to help you. Like, this is an issue. Let's try to make it important to you, or help God to make it important to you.
Thank you, Neil. I just want to remind you that after we sing our closing song, that we will, you are invited for lunch. But before that, I do want to pray with you. And as well, as soon as the last song is finished, we do have a prayer team that will be here at the front. So if anybody is needing prayer from this past week or something that's going on in your life, just remember that I will be one of the people in the prayer team this week, and I can't remember the other person. But we will have a, yes, Eva, I thought it was you, but I wasn't 100% sure. So we will be here to pray with you after the service. Let's just close our time together in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the reminder of the sacrifice that you made on the cross for my sins, for each one of our sins. Thank you for the hope that your resurrection, you defeating sin, Satan, and death, brings us incredible hope for not only this life, but for what comes after this life. Father, thank you for that hope we have. We give you praise and glory. May you be honored and glorified as we continue to worship for you, for your great sacrifice, for what you have accomplished on the cross. And Father, too, as we fellowship together around the tables, as we eat, as we laugh, as we talk, may you be honored and glorified with our conversations, and may you bless the food to our bodies. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.